If you have your Bibles, I will not going to preach long, but turn in your Bibles to Acts 26. A bunch of them are laughing. Yeah, him not preach long. Long is an interesting definition in my book. So the title of this message is For This Purpose. Again, turn to Acts 26. Really been stewing on a couple of titles for this message. Did you know your story matters? I was talking to a friend in Kansas City about 6 or 8 weeks ago, and he's got a website that he titled the website, Your Story Matters. And I've been thinking about that. Really everybody's story in the Bible mattered. And the choices and decisions that they made, whether it's a choice for God or against God, they had a story. How about the story of Rahab? She was known as a prostitute. But one day she made a choice that she was going to follow the covenant God of Israel. And all of a sudden her choice became so big that she became in the family line of Jesus about 3,000 years later when Jesus would be born. See, her story mattered and her decision, her choice mattered. Did you know you're making decisions every day that are either bringing blessings to your life or curses? Every day. How you choose to use your money, whether you give of tithe and offering. And I'm telling you, if you're not giving of tithe, Scripture's pretty plain and clear on that. Of that, you're going to have the enemy coming and eating at your finances. Malachi. But that if you'll give of your tithe and offering and you would trust the Lord, God says, man, I'm going to open up the storehouses of heaven and I'm going to so bless you, man, you're going to be blown away by my blessing. Church, I'm here to tell you, one of the pillars of this house is that a pillar of the word, the truth. It's time that there's a church. It's a time for the people, not a church. There's many great churches. It's time for the people, the bride of Christ, to live by this word, not by counterfeit truths, but by the living word. So we make choices every day that bring blessings to us, and not only us, but to our family. How about the story of Achan, Jericho, Joshua? They're told it's the first fruit of the victory, the first land that they're going into the promised land. There's something powerful about first fruits. And so they're supposed to leave all the gold and treasures and precious robes that they would see in there alone. And as they come in there, that temptation of the devil that knocks at every one of our hearts, Achan's going, man, nobody will ever know. I'll just take a couple of the gold. Man, that's a pretty royal robe. I'll take it. Nobody will see it. And nobody did see it but the one of the unseen realm, God Almighty. You see, there's an unseen realm that sees and watches what each and every one of us does and releases either a gateway of blessing upon you or a gateway of discipline. Now, I'm glad I'm in the New Testament that the discipline's a little different than the Old Testament. But because the one that vote truly counts, God, he came and brought discipline to the entire community of Israel because of one man's sin. They went to attack Ai. Again, this is one man's decision, blessings or curses. They go to attack Ai. That's just a small group of people. They had totally destroyed Jericho with just a shout, trusting in God Almighty. The walls caved in. And all of a sudden, one man's choice, your story matters. Living with a permanent purpose every day in your decisions. As he had gone, Achan had hidden the gold in the robe, beautiful robes underneath his tent. There's a group of men charging Ai, and they're defeated because God's not fighting on their behalf. And all of a sudden, 37 men lost their life that day because of the choice of one. You see, we don't understand kingdom community by the way that every one of us are living our life in this house. We're being affected. I don't know about you, but it's time that there's some holy fear comes upon the body of Christ that I'm going to say no to sin and temptation because it's going to affect my wife, it's going to affect my children, it's going to affect my grandchildren that are not even born yet. We have got to quit being like Esau, who sold his birthright. He was going to be in the family line of Jesus Almighty. In Genesis, the story of Jacob and Esau, but because his temptation to sell his birthright became so strong, what's his story? In Galatians, you see that God calls him Esau as cursed because he sold his birthright. We are going through life flippantly making choices and decisions not based on the Word of God. You see, Washington, D.C. is not the problem. The problem is the bride of Christ has been living without self-control, restraint of the Holy Spirit, because self-control is a character, is a fruit of the Spirit of God in Galatians. Let me tell you the reason Washington, D.C. is out of control in spending. Because many of us have been out of control in spending, and I've been guilty. And this is not any condemnation. It's time to get cleaned up and right with God all the way. Self-control of eating things when God says not to eat. Been there, done that. When God's trying to clean us up and get us to lose a little weight or whatever God may be putting on some of our hearts. You see, God cares about all that. He knows that Mike doesn't need to eat chicken fried steak every day like I used to, or my cholesterol is a reading of 322. Now, I'm being serious, church. You see, this body is the temple of the living God. And the way that I make choices and decisions is either blessing or hurting people. Your story matters. Esau had a bad story. Rahab had an incredible story. Man, can you imagine talking to her when you get to heaven one day? Her story was, once I was a prostitute, but then I became a royal daughter, a mother, in the lineage line of Jesus Christ Almighty. Our decisions and choices matter. And our choices and decisions are writing the chapters of our story. Because now we can talk about the Rahabs. But in Malachi, did you know that God says in His Word, I write a book of remembrance of all of my children? There's a book up there being written about Matt and about Kalen. It's being written about the Parrots. It's being written about the Mazdens, and keep praying for Becky because she needs it with David. Just kidding. Hopefully he was in the bathroom and heard that. Our choices matter. And there needs to become a holy fear upon our choices once again. The reason the Church of America is lacking in power is because we're selling our birthright for a bowl of stew because we don't have self-control. We're selling our birthright, men, because we can't break free of internet pornography. Can I tell you that's hogwash when you read Romans 8? Said that the Spirit of God that raised Christ from the dead lives in me, and sin has no power over me. But yet we'll give speech that says, no, I can't get free of that sin. Again, are we going to be people of the Word of what it says and allow us to really encounter Him? So that our story really matters. Man, don't you want your story to matter? I'm praying that God lets me live to be 94 because I want a bunch of chapters in my life. I want to be able to affect continents for the name of Jesus. What's your vision? And what do you want the chapters of your life to look like? Your choices and decisions or what's writing the chapters of your story matters. All right, that's the intro. Pretty good intro. Here we go. Acts 26:16. Paul is given a description of his story matters. Bless you. Here's what the description was. And again, as a body, we're reading Acts over and over in John 14 through 17 chapters in Romans 8. This is what it says. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose. You see, when we gather together and we worship and we pray for one another, it's not just about you. Yeah, it's about you for that moment. But there's a reason why God is showing up and manifesting His life to you. You see, He's a God of stewardship. And that's a name about Him we don't preach enough. But He's a God of stewardship. For Paul, Saul, I have appeared to you for this purpose. So, and this is the purpose. To make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you have seen and the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well from the Gentiles, to whom I now send you. Again, he's manifesting his life. God is manifesting his life to Saul for this reason, so that you can open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are being sanctified by faith in me. For this purpose, I hope that you get this little phrase, permanent purpose. It's time to live with a permanent purpose. For those who are here, our marriages need to have a permanent purpose to glorify the bridegroom and the bride in heaven here on earth. For the youth and the singles, your permanent purpose is to bring glory in God because He's the husband through every season that you walk through. A permanent purpose. You see, I want you to realize that God really is a God of stewardship. When you look at that word steward, of what it ties into 1 Peter 4:10, that God gives us as stewards the manifold wisdom and grace of Him. Do you know that that word steward in stewardship actually has the word economy in it? In other words, when you receive Christ, there's an economy of heaven that comes into your life. He's revealing His nature and His name to you so that you can start distributing His economy to people around you. The reason we took time on a Saturday morning is because we get to meet two precious ladies like that down there yesterday. The reason I prayer walk my neighborhood is because I want my neighbors to encounter the living God. We were with Rebecca on Thursday, C and I, and she was talking about where she was walking on her trail this past week. She encounters a pregnant lady who is 45 years old, has some great concerns of her pregnancy, and then her own relationship with the Lord. Well, she gets to minister to her on her walk. It's time to have a permanent purpose when we walk along the way of life. When you look at Saul, he had a permanent purpose. Whether he was knitting the tents as a tent maker, he was discipling John Mark and Titus and Silas. He was discipling them. Do you have a permanent purpose? Where's your spiritual land? Paul is told where his spiritual land is, Gentiles and Jews. And then it would start breaking down specifically where he was to go and minister. Where's your spiritual land? As we were prayer driving yesterday and getting out and walking and different things, Chris Parrott thought, man, Mike, what if we were to get money raised for this place down there right off of Harry Hines Boulevard, right in the midst of some dark areas that need Jesus? I said, if we were to raise money and we were to buy this, would you be willing? I said, dude, we would open that up every Thursday through Sunday from 6 o'clock at night till 2 or 3 in the morning, being a house of prayer, being a coffee house for the people that are down in this area. And as we navigated and as we prayed and as we drove down Northwest Highway and as we came across a little hill, because there was a building down there that was very interesting to me, and we came upon Irving, where looked like a lot of rich people were, but I know they need Jesus. You see, church, where is your spiritual land, and are you fishing your spiritual land? We see here God is a God of stewardship, and when He shows up and He manifests His life to you, He expects you to do something with it. The church has made it all about me, my, I. Even our worship time, it can be just about me. But He's showing up and giving you His love, His grace, His mercy, His truth, His healing, so you can go give it away. The man at Gate Beautiful, Peter and John, declared they're going on the way. They have a permanent purpose as they're going to pray. And they speak healing over the man known as Gate Beautiful. His story matters. You see why? How much his story matters? He goes running into the synagogue. And his story mattered so much of Jesus' great healing power, that as he shares the story, hey, I'm running and leaping and I'm praising God. Around 5,000 people got saved. Do you think his story mattered? God is a God of stewardship, and He's given every one of us something. What are you doing with the gift? All of our gifts are different. I'm not a doctor like Dr. Page over here. I'm not a great chef like Philip over here. But I tell you what, I know how to do church. I know how to help go plant churches. I know how to help go do prophecies and evangelism. I know how to go do mission trips. We all have a different gift, but we're responsible. And can I tell you, I believe we've stepped into a prophetic season, not only just for this church, but for the Church of America. Daddy wants a return of his investment. And I'm talking about the Father of Glories wants a return on his investment. And his investment was his son. Now, if you don't believe me that this is scripture, turn to Luke 19. So Daddy is a God of stewardship. What he gives us, he expects something in return. Luke 19, let's start with verse 14. And if I can have 10 people, Smithwick girls, y'all wake up. Get up here. Y'all wasn't asleep. Get up here. Y'all are three of them. I need 7 others lined up right across here. 7 others. I need 7 other people. David Mastin, there you go. Nancy, thank you. And as I read this story, here we go. Spread out a little bit. Thank you, Joyce. We got 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Thank you, Randa. I need one more. There comes Ann. There comes Ann. We got enough. Okay, here's the story. Luke 19, verse 14. This is a parable right before Jesus is going to the cross. Because you see, they were thinking that the kingdom was going to end real, real soon. And he wanted to tell them about a little parable. We'll start in 13. So he called 10 of his servants. Here's our servants here. 10 of his servants, and delivered to them a mina apiece, and said to them, "Do business until I come." So here is their mina. See, don't you wish you would have come now?
Thank you.
See, look at David Mastin. He gets excited about the. Yeah, look at you. Okay, hang with me. So they have their mina. Do business until I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him, saying, "We will not have this man to reign over us." And so it was that when he returned, having received the kingdom, He commanded these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Master, your mina has earned 10 minas. Way to go, Randa. And he said to him, Well done, good servant, because you were faithful in a very little. Now look at the language that God uses. Now have authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Master, your mina has earned 5 minas. He said, Likewise, he said to them, You also have authority over 5 cities. Then another came, saying, Master, here is your mina, which I have kept put away in a handkerchief. Here's what holds many of us back. For I feared you, because you are an austere, a severe man. You collect what you did not deposit, and reap what you did not sow. And he said to him, Out of your own mouth I will judge you, you wicked servant. You know that I am a severe man, collecting what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank, that at my coming I might have collected it with interest? And he said to those who stood by, Take the mina from him and give to the one who has 10 minas. But they said to him, Master, he already has 10 minas. He says, For I say to you that to everyone who has will be given even more, and from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Church, I'm here to tell you, God has given every one of us incredible gifts and talents. But we see in that scripture what keeps many of us back. But I feared you. And maybe we're none of us here fear God, but we're fearing that we don't think we're talented enough, gifted enough, and so we stay silent. And I don't know about you, because I'm not just asking for 10 cities. I literally am asking for continents. And I know just starting out, we're a small church. You're going, man, how could you be asking for a continent? Because we need to have the nature of Jesus. Because it says in Psalms 2 that the Father declared to the Son, ask of me for the nations. If we're called to ask for the nations, are you even asking for your family? Is God going to show up one day with you and take it away because you were fearful? And you see, God is such a God of stewardship, and we don't treat it like this. Even as teachers, as you get ready to start back as teachers, what are you getting ready to pray for your students? Because God wants to give you prayers for them right now, not just when the first day of school starts. But you see, God is a God of stewardship, and if we're not going to walk in the ways that He wants to us and use the gifts and talents He gave us, He's going to take away and give. We're going to go ahead and give it back to her. Randa was feeling, so y'all can sit down, and I want you to keep the money. Keep the money. David, don't spend it all in one place. But for you 10 who came up, we may have a Sunday. David, listen up, because I don't want you to be surprised. That we're going to call you 10 back up and find out what y'all did with that $1. Okay, did y'all hear that back there, Smithwick kids? They're not going to say no now, but anyway. It's on tape. God has given us the gift and grace, and He's given us the ability to bless. We're going to stay on this scripture, I believe, for a couple of weeks as I speak on it. God desires to show up every day and reveal His nature to you. He wants to reveal His beauty to you greater and greater. He wants to reveal His love to you greater and greater. Can I tell you, I'm a better pastor today, 20 years later from when I first became a pastor? Because you see, God just didn't want to reveal Himself to me one time. He reveals Himself to me every day that I give Him time. Chris is even a better evangelist today as he goes out, because he opens his heart up to God every day. I know Dr. Page doesn't like me calling him Dr. Page, but he's an incredible gifted man of God in his businesses, because he gives his businesses to the Lord, number one. Number two, he prays for his customers that come into the door. Now, that says a lot for a man of God who, if they get healed, they're not going to need his services anymore. Now, I'm serious. You know what I'm saying? That's an incredible man of integrity. We're all called to pray over the land that God has given us. God has put a sound and a voice of victory in every one of us. And are you using the gifts and talents that God has given you? I believe that we are on the cusp of a prophetic season, not only in this church, but the church in America, that if you're not going to give what God has given you for the years, he's going to take it and give it to somebody else. Because he's looking for men and women of God who start seeing their spiritual land of thousands of millions of people in it. I want to close in this. If God has given Mike O'Ran, Carrollton, Farmers Branch, Irving, Capel, this slither of Dallas, Highland Village, Flower Mound, all up in there, a little bit over into Plano and into Allen, whatever those 10 cities are, do you know how many thousands or even millions of people are in those cities? What is your spiritual land? And you're called to pray over it. What is your spiritual land? And you're called to declare God's blessings and goodness over it. What is your spiritual land? You're called, like Rebecca, to walk her walking track and bump into a lady who needs Jesus, needs peace, and needs some healing. As you students and teachers get ready to go back here in just a month, are you preparing your heart for what could be one of the greatest adventures in the greatest year of your life? Tomorrow, it's not going to be a blasé Monday. It's a day that you get to get up for all of us who work or even who stay at home who are housewives. It's a day that you get to get up and pray to your neighbor to the left and right. And even prayer walk, some of us need to go do some walking. You're going to get a couple of benefits out of it. Exercise, lungs and heart increase, because again, God is a God of stewardship, spiritually, physically, emotionally, and financially. Amen? And he's looking for a people who'll be faithful to what he's given them. He reveals his nature and his love so that we can tell the story. He reveals his love and nature to us so that our story matters. Mike O'Ran, 27 years ago or so, drug addict and alcoholic. At 2:30 in the morning, in a 1-minute prayer, he revealed his love and his mercy and his forgiveness. And my story changed. And now, 25 years later, my story matters, and every day it matters more and more because he reveals more and more of who he is. Your story matters. And we're going to dissect the scriptures more and more in these next 2 weeks. You don't think the woman at the well story matters? She comes to a well, beaten down lady, failed marriages, and living with a guy. Jesus reveals who he is to her, and her story matters, and an entire village is saved. Are you waking up every morning saying, Daddy, reveal who you are to me more and more? Let's pray. Worship team, can we come back up? I want us to close in some worship. It's only 11:20, so we got plenty of time. If you've been slothful, lazy, spiritually, physically, emotionally, mentally, financially, you haven't been stewarding even the money that God's given you correctly. I just encourage you, not going to single you out, I encourage you to repent. Ask the Lord to forgive you of even how we squander time when God's asking us to come out and let Him speak to us and reveal His nature to us more and more. And we turn on the tube or go watch a movie or talk to a friend on Facebook when He's longing to reveal who He is to you more and more so that your story matters greater and with greater authority. God wants to give us, every one of us, I believe, in this house right now, authority over 10 cities. But God is a God of stewardship, and He doesn't give stuff away if we're not going to be willing to grow up and mature in the things of His kingdom. Well, Father, we do ask that You'd forgive us, Lord, of where we haven't had self-control, where we've mishandled things, Lord, where we've mishandled it spiritually or physically, emotionally, mentally, or financially. And Daddy, we say we need some healthy fear of You to come into our lives. Not where You're an angry daddy, but where You're calling us into our destiny. You're asking us to come into the promised land and to release Your story through our story of how You redeemed our lives. Lord, we thank You for all the ways that You reveal who You are through Your love, Your mercy, Your forgiveness, Your healing power. And Lord, let us tell the story now. Let us tell it like Saul did. Let us tell it like Rahab did. Let us tell the story of Your great love like the woman at the well did. No matter where we've been, You come and touch us. And all of a sudden, our story matters. We love You and we give You praise for Your greatness. And we want to exalt Your great name. In Your name we pray, King Jesus. Amen.